Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Here we go then, all the gang back together. It's Ladies of Liverpool podcast time. It is, of course, Father's Day weekend this weekend. So I could have brought my dad on, and that was the plan. I was going to do a lovely little podcast with my dad, talking about all our fabulous memories and the good times we've had and the joys of having a fabulous dad. But instead, I thought it would be a good opportunity to speak to someone who wasn't blessed with a great dad, didn't have the memories and experiences that I had growing up, and struggled. It's Mr. Pete Price. You don't know the story behind Pete Price. Not many people do, but we're about to find out all about his adopted dad and his real dad and the effect it has on his life. Remember to share the episode. Tell everyone you know to tune in. It's Ladies of Liverpool with Pete Price.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So it's taken me a while to get you in the boudoir, but Pete Price, we are going to interrogate you right now.
I'm very flattered to be asked, by the way.
Well, do you know what? Well, I know you're a fan. I know you're listening. Yeah. But with it being Father's Day, I wanted to talk to you about your childhood because not a lot of people will know where it all began for Pete Price. So I thought it was a good little opportunity.
And a nice day to... I've never talked about Father's Day.
Yeah.
Because I've never had a father, really, in my life to have Father's Day.
So talk me through it. At what age? I know you were adopted. Were you adopted from birth, Pete?
I was adopted. My mother had a baby. She was in the RAF. And what she did was she... in those days, you could have a baby. You're taken away to have the baby. Mm-hmm. The baby's taken off you and then you come back. So nobody knows that you were pregnant.
I've seen TV things about that. So it's so sad, isn't it?
They'd done that and that's what it was done. And she had me and I was had in Wrexham, in a place where women came from all over the country to have babies. And then she brought me back and left me apparently with her mother, who would have been my grandmother, and then started the adoption procedure. And I'll tell you more about her a little bit later, but the best thing she ever did for me, the woman who had brought me
into
the world...
Do you call her your mum or you just...
No, not at all. It's an insult. She brought me into the world, but she gave me to the most wonderful woman, Hilda May Price, who was sensational and desperately wanted children.
Yeah.
I didn't know until I was a little bit older what I was getting into because I was a child.
Yeah.
But my father was a wife beater and not a nice man at all.
And this is the man who was married to Hilda.
Hilda. Yeah, so Dave Lloyd Price.
So how old were you when you went into the household? Like a baby
about 3 months. About 3 months.
Tiny baby.
Yeah. So it's an interesting story, which I always remember my mum. I never talked to my mum growing up about it because she took it very badly.
Yeah.
She felt that she'd failed me if I started talking about adoption.
Yeah.
And I always remember she let my mother, my birth mother, come and see me. Her name, by the way, was Grace Ann Worry.
Right, so you always knew you were
adopted.
My
name was Raymond Worry.
Oh, wow.
So I was a Worry, which is a Scottish name, Raymond.
You went from a Worry to a Worry.
Yeah, a big Worry. And I remember she came and my mother allowed her to come and see the baby.
So you knew you were adopted?
I knew. I was brought up with the most beautiful story.
Go on.
The beautiful story was... just remember that you were picked and you were just
chosen,
brought into the world.
Yeah.
And she said that she had £300 to buy a fur coat. And in fact, it was just across the road from Radio City where the adoption society was. And it was above Hills, the hairdressers.
Right.
And she had £300 and she said there was a baby shop and a furrier's. She was going to buy a fur coat. And there was a baby crying in the window. And she bought the baby instead. And she says to this day, she should have bought the fur coat. That was the story I was brought up on.
Oh, it's like, how much is that doggy in the window?
Yeah.
Oh, how cute.
But she said that my mother came, my birth mother came to see me. And she looked through the crack of the door to see how she was. And she said all she was doing was looking in the mirror at herself. Now, I thought my mother, Hilda, was being a bitch by saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I met Grace, that fitted into
exactly
place
what
so
she was.
Well.
Yeah.
So I was brought up by Hilda May Price with Dave Lloyd Price, who was from Wales, from Merthyr Tydfil, Nanty Gwynedd Street. I don't know why I always remember that.
Yeah.
And he had a big Welsh family.
And physically, was he a big guy?
No, a small, bald, unattractive man.
Right.
Mum was quite attractive, but just like anyone's mum.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise that he was a wife beater, and I didn't realise until I got a bit older. I think I was about 6 or 7 when my mother went down the stairs past me when he'd thrown her down the stairs.
Oh.
And then I realised that something was amiss in this relationship of theirs. But he never touched me. He never once. My mum was a disciplinarian, a good disciplinarian.
Yeah.
But he never touched me. And
so what would they fight about? Was it a typical...
No, he was a drunken alcoholic. He had a business and lost everything. Mm-hmm. He had a concrete works at the back of Hoylake Station in Car Lane, and he made paving slabs after the war, and he was doing very well. We had a beautiful home called Vine Cottage in Darman's Green opposite the Catholic Church, a magnificent place with 2 acres of land at the back. Beautiful cottage with cellars and everything. And we lost it all because of him. And everyone loved Dave Lloyd Price because he was buying drinks for everybody.
Yes.
And then came home and he was a psycho.
It's so typical, isn't it? You hear this story over and over again. And I always think when it comes to kids living in a home like that, particularly for little boys, who their instinct is to protect their mum, it's so hard for them to cope with the fact that they can't, not against a grown man.
Yeah.
There's no way on God's earth that that can happen. So did you struggle with the stepping inside of it? At what age did you feel like
enough is enough? No, I didn't struggle. I didn't struggle, Leanne, because I didn't know she kept it from me. The only time I remember was when he went down, she went down the stairs. That was the only time. And then at 10 years old, she threw him out. She said, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And I always remember we had a little chandler shop. My mum had built, she was scrubbing steps in the Ringabells pub to keep me alive. He wasn't bringing anything in. We moved houses down the road to Bridge Road, and we had, what do they call when somebody stays with you? A lodger. A lodger to help pay, and she was working every hour God sends. I don't know what he was doing apart from drinking.
Mm.
And it was always at the D pub in West Kirby. Always remember that because everyone loved Dave Lee Price.
Yeah.
He was the big guy. Dave Lloyd Price. So I didn't know. And then one day I was walking over the bridge and my dad was at the top of the bridge with a suitcase a little small suitcase. And he said, I'm going away for a couple of days. I never saw him again for... about 15 years. And then one day in West Kirby, he came up to me and said to me, I'm your dad, give your mum this matchbox. And inside was a £5 note. That was the only money she ever had off him for keeping me. And I always remember she ripped the £5 note up.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So life without a dad then, that leads us to. Was there much of a difference? Because he sounds like he was sort of doing his own thing anyway. But did you feel a space in your life where you missed having a father figure around once he'd left the family home?
I don't think it did, Leanne, because I think she was so protective. She was so good as a mum.
Yeah.
And I was also fighting my sexuality. Mm. So I had all that within me to worry about. So I had more of me to worry about than my dad being there.
Yeah.
And of course, Father's Day didn't exist. I mean, my generation, I'm 73 years old.
Has it not always been a thing?
Not at all. It's a brand new American idea.
Well,
oh,
I didn't know that.
No, it's a brand new idea.
Because I can remember Father's Day for as long as I've been here. But
no, it was done by the Americans after Mother's Day. Let's make some more money.
Yeah.
I always remember Mother's Day because I used to save up and save up and save up on my pocket money to buy something. I've got to tell you, when my mother died, I went looking for my father.
Right.
And I'll tell you about what happened later about the other father. But I went looking for Dave Lloyd Price. I went looking for love.
Right.
Because I'd lost the most important person in my life, and I tried to top myself because I was fighting my sexuality and I was fighting and it did.
And how old were you at this point?
Well, when I tried to top myself the first time, I was 14. I took 2 bottles of children's aspirins, orange flavour. They were marvellous. You know, the biggest headache of my life.
Oh.
But I didn't know anything
else. Just out of desperation.
Yeah, I was just fighting it on my own. You know, but anyway, after my mum had died, I went looking for my dad.
So Hilda died?
After Hilda died.
Yeah.
Your
adopted mum? Years,
my adopted mum. I went looking for my dad, her husband. I went looking for my real mother.
Yeah.
And I went looking for my father.
Who did you find first?
My dad. Hilda's...
So the guy who was thrown out the family home, loved to drink.
Yeah.
You went in and you found him.
I found him.
And where was he? What was he up to?
Oh, just before he died, we went down to see my nan, who is no longer alive.
Mm.
And when we got down to South Wales, they lived in a two up and two down with an outside lavvy.
Right.
And they protected us. Wherever we went, we were never left for 1 second because nobody knew that they were separated because they were ashamed because they were chapel.
Welsh chapel.
So you don't. So we went, wherever we went, we were never.
Oh, wow.
And here's a story I've never told, which makes me laugh.
Go on.
My mother. So this house was this tiny little house. My nan slept with her daughter in a big iron poster bed.
Right.
My mother was in a room on her own, but the wall didn't go all the way to the window. So she was naked with my uncle. I'm in bed with an uncle who I'd never met in my life.
And this is Hilda. This is the adopted mum.
Yeah.
And her mum.
I'm in bed with this man who's staring at my mother naked. And I'm going, Mom! Mom! But my uncle...
Welcome to Wales!
I had my doubts about him. Because my nan used to peel a banana. And he was 40.
Oh, come
so
on.
It was I mean, it's a story in itself.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I went looking for my dad, Dave Lloyd Price. And I found him in a club in Bolton, working. I was working. I was the comic.
Wow.
And he was a storekeeper. And I went up to him at the bar. I'll never forget, I've gone cold telling you.
Mm.
I went up to him at the bar and I went, hi. And he went, all right. Are you going to buy me a drink? And he said, why would I buy you a drink? I said, because I'm your son. To which he told the whole club.
Because he's proud that
the whole club applauded.
Yeah, the act is his son. And he hadn't seen you since you were 10.
No. Well, except for that one time he gave me the fiver.
The matchbox, yeah.
So he's telling everybody. So, and you worked at clubs, you know what they're like. This was a rough one.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a rough one. So he said, I need to explain about your mother. I said, don't want to hear about my mother. I've come to look for you, but I do not want to hear about my mother. So please do not even talk my mother's name in your breath.
Mm.
You know, so I went on stage. I went, ladies and gentlemen, I presume you've all heard that there's my dad. And they all went, yeah. And I said, by the way, Dad, I'm a homosexual.
And how did you take that?
Very badly. Very badly. The club thought it was the most hysterical thing they'd ever.
I was going to say, but the act went down well. I thought it was part of the act.
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So did he ever acknowledge you after that day?
He died shortly after.
Oh.
He was the first man. Nothing's ever simple with me.
Yeah.
He was the first man in England to ever die of Legionnaires' disease.
Oh, really?
And it was abroad, so it was in Spain. And Legionnaires' disease is called when you have a shower, it's in the water.
I don't understand it, but
he died. And they got in touch with me and they said, it's £28,000 to fly the body back. I went, I don't know him. Never seen him before. He's not my dad. So I certainly didn't pay that. And he left me £2,000 in his will.
It's not bad. And what date was this, Pete?
Oh, I'm terrible on dates, so I can't remember.
How many years ago do you think?
A few years ago. But I bought a dressing table, a writing table, to keep everything in, and that's my memory. So that's my dad, as in I'll remember my mum. I've got my mum's pictures all over it just to annoy him.
Yeah, so she's got the upper hand.
She's
placed on top of him. Yeah. She dresses him. Yeah.
So that was my dad there.
Yeah.
And my mum brought me up, and she did a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
she gave
you adore
me everything.
Her,
she,
don't you?
Yeah. You know, she helped me enormously, and I've got a million stories about her.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have me back to talk about her one day.
Definitely. We'll do a Mother's Day.
We're talking about dads.
We'll do a Mother's Day.
We're talking dads.
So that's
Dave Lee Price.
Yeah, the guy.
I keep saying Lee. Dave Lloyd Price.
And that's the guy who brought you up with Hilda when you were adopted.
That's it.
So we need to know about the birth dad.
When Mum died, I went looking for my father.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went looking for my birth mother.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to find love. It's stupid. You think you're going to find love. You're not going to find love at all because you've already got your mum.
I always find this interesting, you know, when speaking to anyone who's adopted about, you know, is all that love enough? Does there always come a point in that person's life where curiosity gets the better of them, or they need to actually look the person who birthed them in The eye.
It's interesting you say that, Leanne, because Jim Bowen was adopted and never wanted to find his parents, quite happy who he was.
Yeah.
I, and a lot of people I know who were adopted, do not want to. There was three people in our family adopted. One took it so badly.
Yeah.
She never, ever got over it. She went on the back of her boyfriend's motor scooter and killed herself. She couldn't handle it. She couldn't handle the fact. I had a dear friend called Chris, I won't mention his second name, who was adopted. He sadly died as well. And he couldn't take it well.
I wanted
to find someone because I'd lost the love of my life, Hilda.
Mm.
And also I wanted to know who I was because my mum was just a mum.
Yeah.
She didn't have this big personality. She wasn't loud. She wasn't over the top.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know who I was.
Yeah.
So
maybe you'd inherited some kind of personality from...
Yeah. Who are my family.
Yeah.
So I started to look for Grace and Worry. And you hear these stories about them years on end. It took us 8 months. When she'd had me adopted, on the birth certificate, which I had, she'd actually got the address. She'd put her address.
Yeah.
But the house she had, she married somebody and he must have bought it off her. So she was in the same house that she lived with her mother, my nan.
Right, okay, yeah.
Which was bizarre.
So that's nice.
So we found her like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Found her like that.
First address you went to.
So got in touch on the phone.
Mm.
And I said, I don't know how to say this, but this is your son. And she'd have been expecting this call. She didn't know I was Pete Price.
Oh. Well, you were Raymond to hear, weren't you?
Yeah, but she didn't know I was Pete Price on radio. Mm-hmm. Sorry, she didn't know I was Pete Price on radio. And it turns out she listened. So
for years she'd been listening to this man.
She'd been listening to this man and not realised it was her son.
She'd given birth to him.
So I arranged to meet her
mm-hmm.
because I knew she was married
yeah.
and she had stepchildren. And I knocked on the door and the first thing was the biggest shock. It was me in a frock. I looked like her.
Image.
Leanne, dreadful frock. I would never.
Would you mortified?
Never have worn that frock. Never have worn that frock. And the first words out of her mouth were, "Don't think you're getting any money out of me."
You're killing me.
To which I said, "I probably can buy and sell you."
And now what a start to a conversation
hang on.
With your mother.
The second words out of her mouth were, "I am so sorry to have brought you into the world with your problems." Because I was
meaning
homosexual.
That you were gay. Oh, that just
so you can imagine how I felt
me.
About her.
Yeah.
So I nearly walked away, but I thought, no, I want to get to know her.
Because that could be just a defence
to find
mechanism.
Out. Yeah, but I wanted to get to know her to find out who I was.
Mm.
So I didn't know. I instantly didn't like her.
Yeah.
You would never open a conversation with that,
no.
even if you thought it. Never in a million
Maybe
years.
Maybe she was expecting you to be like confrontational with her, and that was a defence to get in there first.
No, she turned out to be not a nice woman.
Right.
I think she was a man eater.
Uh-huh.
I gathered that from getting to know her.
Yeah.
And that just came over. The best thing she ever did for me, ever, apart from giving me away to my mum, she's got some fabulous family who I'm friendly with.
Okay.
So I met a fabulous cousin who lives in America, Mark, who's been on my radio show, and
yeah.
he's a gorgeous guy, and
oh.
he's married with kids, and she had sisters, and so I met some nice people.
It was worth going
yeah,
and meeting
it was,
place, wasn't
it was, and to find out about
yeah.
myself.
Was there anything when you did sit with her? I know she's not your favourite person in the world, but were there traits where you thought, oh, I'll get that from her, or was it just a physicality?
No, I didn't
like
get
it?
Anything from her.
No.
I just sat there and she... Oh, yes, I did get something from her.
Go on.
She talked about herself all the time. I don't do that. That just comes to me now.
Nature or nature, they say, don't they?
I've only just realised that.
She loved herself, as does Arby.
Oh, God. I feel ashamed.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So there must have come a point during conversation when you meet your mum, you bring up your dad. What was your dad like?
Yeah.
What information did she give you?
For some reason or other, she gave me a picture,
right.
which is actually in my book, in my autobiography. And it's a picture of, she said, my dad. But I got the feeling she was a liar. But she gave me this picture. She went and said, this picture. So I don't know who this guy was, but I look like this guy.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, she told him my father was a Polish-American GI.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. So about A year later or 2 years later, I'm not no good on times.
Yeah.
I rang her up one day and I said, Grace, whatever you do, don't watch the telly tonight. I'm going on the Esther Ranson show to try and find my father. To which she went, oh, son. Oh, I'm so sorry. I told you so many lies. I went, hang on, whoa.
Stop it.
Your father, you know, the Polish-American GI. I went, whoa, hang on. You're telling me that my father is not a Polish-American GI. I am talking to Oprah Winfrey in America. I've got a detective working on it. I've been writing to newspapers. I've been in magazines in America. And you're now telling me my father was not a Polish-American GI. Who was my father? I don't. Just tell me. Tell me. So she went. It was an Italian prisoner of war, stationed at Burton Wood, went over the fence, gave her one and came back. Hence, my father was some soldiers. That's where the lines come from.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, I was mortified.
Yeah.
And this is such a long story and I'm going to put it right into a small condensed box because this is hysterical. You know that I am mental. You know I am strange. I had a friend who speaks who speaks perfect Italian. Italian. Absolutely beautiful. And he wrote me this letter. And I wrote, don't know where this came from, because I thought that I was from Sicily. And we wrote to the head of the mafiosa who was in Palermo prison. You see, you can't
that's
make
what you
show.
Do.
You do.
You have to go look in Italy with someone. Go straight to the mafia.
Yeah.
And you had a feeling it was in Sicily.
Sicily, yeah.
Okay.
From what she'd said about me and from what I'd done, we'd done a little bit of research. Yeah. Didn't hear anything back. Until 4 weeks later, when an Italian television company got in touch with me and they do a programme called, and excuse the pronunciation, I think it's Scelevista. And it was a very big programme, went out on a Friday night in Italy to find people, to have loved ones together. It was one of those.
Yeah.
And had ridiculous listenership and viewers.
Yeah.
Ridiculous business. And this Italian company got in touch with me, never mentioned the mafia, wanted to come over and film me because they said they found my father. Now, first of all, they've got no information on me apart from this one letter.
Yeah.
So how can they find my father? So they came over. They were beautiful, by the way. There was about six of them. And they did. They even came to the grapes and videoed me in the grapes singing. They came on my radio show.
Imagine the Italians watching that on a Sunday night.
It's hysterical.
You on the grapes doing karaoke.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
But the video they put together made Liverpool look sensational.
Yeah, yeah.
So they said, and I'm going to be very truthful about this, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm not a liar and she'll tell you I'm not.
No.
So they said, we found your father. We want you to go on a live television programme in Italy. Now, there's no way on this earth.
It's like surprise, surprise,
yes,
Italian style.
There's no way on this earth that they have found my father. Because they don't know anything about me. But you think I'm going to give up television?
Not
in Italy,
chance, sunshine,
live? No. You think I'll miss that?
And there must be a part of you thinking, well, what if?
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
So, at Radio City's tower,
they
did the filming.
Right.
And we went live. So I'm in the studio there. I'll never forget this as long as I live. They had two envelopes with two photographs in. One of the photo that she gave me.
Yeah.
And one of the photograph of who they think is my father. So, when I took them out of the envelope, it was the difference between, I don't know, Derek Hatton and David Cameron. There was no similarity in any shape or form. But am I going to waste television?
Did you cry? Did you go, oh, that's my daddy?
No.
Go on.
Don't be soft. I did it on the television.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, not one of the
photos. There's no way.
So they went, Edward Garner, but yeah, and it's all subtitled.
Yeah.
And live to Liverpool, we have your father. And there's this little old man of about 86 sitting there. And they said, Peter, would you give it out? Would you give it out? And I don't know what's going on. And they said to me, what do you want to say to your father? And I went, Papa, I want to come to Italy and eat the grapes from our vineyards and the tomatoes from our village. Cut! Ad break. To which the phones go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had a heart attack on live Italian television and rushed to hospital. He's not even my father. And he's had this heart attack. So, his family, he didn't die, thank goodness, but his family are still convinced that I'm his son.
With no DNA evidence.
Nothing.
Not a scrap
of
evidence.
They wanted DNA, but there was nothing. But they sent me photos. The village is beautiful.
Lovely.
And they're very poor.
When are we going?
They're very poor. But the end of the story is my favourite bit. So I got messages from all over the world. Hi, I'm your father. Hi, I'm your father. Because it went worldwide.
Yeah.
America, hi, I'm your father. But the last email was my favourite. Hello, my name is Hans. I am from Germany. I am not your father, but I find you very attractive. To which I replied, please send me photo.
Oh, send nudes.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.